Hello everyone, and thank you for coming. Today I will introduce you the tool that we use internally at RTE, and that's also open source. In the back, can you hear me? Can you hear my voice? Louder? Okay, a bit louder. So today I will introduce Antares Simulator. So yeah, it's a tool that's been open source since 2018. It changed license. So at first it was licensed under GPL, but then we changed to something like MPL for reasons that I can't explain. But
I can if you'd like after.
Yeah. So first I will introduce how it works. So the idea is very simple. You have a set of interconnected areas, so a network. That can be countries or regions, whatever you prefer. And on each of these areas, you have some power consumption, like residential, industrial, cars, electric cars. On some areas, you have some dispatchable production, so production that you can control with technical limitations. For example, you cannot start a nuclear reactor instantly, and you also have some non-dispatchable production, and more of it, which cannot be controlled or very little. And we also have links in interconnecting the different areas. We've also some limitations on the flux, on the import and export capacity. So the modeling is very simple because it's aimed at very long-term simulations. So we keep it simple. We don't have nonlinear stuff and things like that. It's just linear optimization in the back. So the very basic equation is the following. It's the balance constraint. So for each area, you have to produce enough energy to satisfy the load. But you can also use, you can also import some energy if you need it, and you can also export some if you have too much. I have to talk about the two terms in red. So the unsupplied energy and the spilled energy. So these are, slack variables. So we give our system a little bit of slack, because if we don't introduce these variables, we get infeasible problems, problems that have no solution. And our users, basically, they like it when there's no unsupplied energy or as little as possible, because it means that the electric system is correct, is adequate. And spilled energy is the contrary. So we have to produce too much, for example, non-dispatchable energy, and we cannot evacuate that production into the network. This is a problem as well, but not in general. Unsupplied energy is much worse than spilled energy for our users, at least. The idea is, we get a lot of data from climate scenarios, from load, wind, solar. Some of these are connected. And so we establish Monte Carlo scenarios. And we also have some data coming from energy producers, like outages, maintenance scenarios, and also inflows for lakes, rivers, concerning the hydro generation. So we mixed all of this together with some consistency to establish some scenarios, a lot of them. In general, it's 1,000 scenarios, but sometimes it can be more or less. So I really like this explanation. So we take one scenario for load, one scenario for the wind generation, and so on. And these are linked, one scenario for hydro, and so on. And so we mix them to establish years. So a year is actually a Monte Carlo scenario. Years are independent, so there is no memory. There is no memory for between 1 year and another. So it helps us for parallelization. For example, we can parallelize years. So it's really nice for us. And then we can have some curves, some stochastic results, because all of this is probabilistic. And for example, the expected loss of load or such indicators. And our users, they watch it, these peaks very, very carefully. I didn't talk about unit commitment. It's quite technical, but it's about simulating the how the dispatchable production works and how we start some thermal clusters in order to satisfy the demand. So we have quite a few users and reference study. For example, internally at RTE, we have winter and summer outlook that are done with Antares simulator. So these studies are used mainly in order to assess the adequacy for the next season. So this would be not so long term, but medium term. We have the French adequacy report, which is more like a legal obligation on our part of the French TSO. So we have to publish a report every, I think it's every 2 years, in order to comply with our legal obligations. We also have some R&D studies about electric vehicles, vehicle to grid, stuff like that. Some innovative topics. And then a lot of studies, also European studies, because since Antares is open source, it can be used in European studies. There's no need for to pay for licenses and stuff like that. So anyone can use it, considering they have the ability to use it. And finally, RTE published a report on Energy Pathways 2050. That was in October 2021. And this report is quite big. Actually, it's a big book. I have it on my desk. All what I said. So it established six scenarios, and around that tries to to explain what will happen in each of those scenarios, how much they will cost to the taxpayer, how much materials are going to be used, and so on and so forth. So during the remaining time, I will talk about next features for Antares. So we have, for a long time, we've had an old legacy GUI, which was written in C++. Surprisingly, our users like the old one. they're kind of used to it, but we're trying to migrate to a web-based interface. So we had a project a few years ago. We started a project a few years ago that is called Antares Web. And it offers nice features like this variant manager. It looks like a Git tree for some of those that are familiar with Git, except for Antares study. The reason was that studies are quite large, a few gigabytes of data, and they're often duplicated. If you only just want to change a small subset of data, you have to copy the whole study and make a copy, and then you make 100 copies, and then your server is full. So we wanted to avoid this by having this variant manager where you can actually just change what you want and avoid the duplication. There's also this system map, nice system map, that allows to navigate the whole system. That's not really a new feature, it already existed, but it looks nicer on the web interface. And finally, we have a task manager. So it allows us not only to launch simulations remotely on a central server. Actually, in this case, it's a Slurm cluster, if I'm not mistaken. So we're trying with this Antares Web tool. We're also trying to migrate from desktop to more like something more centralized. What else can I say? We're probably going to be using the cloud a lot more in the future because it's more efficient. We can run a simulation like 10 times faster because they have super powerful clusters. Another change is the what we call the modeler. So up until now, if we wanted to add a model, for example, like, I don't know, a battery, we had to change the code. And it's not so convenient because the code is a bit old. It's in French. And OK, we need a developer to do that task. However, we're trying to move to configuration-based models. So we write down the equations, not in a C++ file, but in a YAML file. And so it allows the users to write their own models without relying on software developers, in theory. And so that's something that we're developing right now. We had a Python prototype first. It works pretty well. And now we are making it, porting it into C++. And one of the difficulties will be to have hybrid simulations with the old model here, the old models, static, code-based. We're going to have both these and this into the same simulation. So that's one complexity. We have multiple repositories, one for Antares Simulator, one for Antares Expansion, which I didn't mention. We have some documentation available. And also, I would like to mention that our subsidiary, RTE International, provides trainings as well as SaaS for Antares. So yeah, you can contact them at this address if you would like to. Any questions?
Thank you very much for the presentation. A quick question about the dynamic models.
Yeah.
Do you mean dynamic models as in you're running the simulation, say you have a blackout that happens, so you can reconfigure the model of the simulation and keep running the simulation? Do your simulations use dynamic addition and extraction of nodes during the simulation, or do you have to stop, change the model, and start a new simulation with the data simulation?
Okay, the question was about dynamic models. If it's going to actually reconfigure the simulation, the model during the simulation, or if not, the answer is no. This only allows us to configure the models beforehand, before running the simulation.
Well, the variant on that is you have independent years. Can you have the network changing over time, or are you just running different Monte Carlos on the same?
For now, the only thing that changes is the data. Yeah, the network is fixed. Sorry, the question was, can the network change? The question was, can you have the network change over time? And the answer is no. You can only have the data associated to the network change. And I think time's up.